The four-month-old boy, who became known as Sri Lanka's Baby 81, was placed back into his parents' arms today. The baby was swept from his mother's arms by the tsunami waves that crashed ashore on the east coast of Sri Lanka the day after Christmas. Hours later, he was found by rescuers in the tsunami debris and taken to a hospital, the 81st person admitted that day. When his parents were unable to prove the boy was theirs, family records were destroyed by the waves. A two-month-long custody battle ensued. Eight other couples claimed him. 2 days ago, DNA tests confirmed who his real parents are and his name. Baby 81 is now Baby Abalas.
On the other side of the Indian Ocean now, residents of the Indonesian island of Sumatra continue to recover from the tsunami. Volunteers pull hundreds of bodies from debris every day. The number of dead and missing in Aceh province is more than 220,000, with 400,000 homeless. NPR's Michael Sullivan has returned to a town that was completely destroyed by the waves, leaving half of Pukenbada's 21,000 residents either dead or missing.
When their entire town was swept away, many of Pukenbada's homeless came to overcrowded, tented camps like this one, where the cooking is done on the dirt floor, where people also sleep. Three or four families are often packed into each tent, living on handouts from the government and international aid agencies. Yesterday, however, brought relief for some. Hundreds in the camp were trucked to newly constructed wooden barracks near the provincial capital. They were among the first to be given what the government calls temporary homes until permanent housing can be built. 40-year-old Mariama and her four surviving children bring in what few belongings they have left. She looks around the 10-by-14 room allocated to her family and smiles.
It's better here. The sanitation is better. We have our own room in the camp. We had to sleep with the other families, cook with them. There was no privacy. And when it rained, things got worse. This will be all right for a little while, but I don't want it to be forever.
Not all of Pukenbada's homeless are in the camps. Some of the more fortunate found shelter in the homes of relatives. Rohani, her husband, and her two children came to her mother's house a few miles inland. She says she would rather stay here than move to the barracks, and she is still afraid of moving back to Pukenbada with the ocean so close.
I like it here because I'm close to my mother and my sister. It's more comfortable here being near my family. In the middle of the night, if someone gets sick, my family is right here to help. My husband's family is all gone, so this is all the family we have.
And it's more than family that makes Rohani's 10-year-old son Yusrat want to stay. I've made a lot of new friends here, he says. I had a lot of friends back home, too, but I don't know what's happened to them. And I like it here. The boy's father, Sainuddin, seems to be getting used to it here, too.
If I thought about my children, my wife, and their trauma, it's probably better to live here, to build here, because it will be safe. But I can't build here now even if I want to, because I don't have any money. So I just wait for the government to decide where to build, and I'll take whatever they give me.
But Sainuddin and his family are in the minority. Most Pukenbada residents are eager to return to what's left of their town, and the sooner, the better. The first few days after the tsunami hit, the only way to get to Pukenbada was on foot. The road was littered with debris, cars, uprooted trees, and bodies. The only building left intact was the main mosque. 6 weeks later, the road is clear, and more people are trickling back, eager to start the process of rebuilding. A few hundred yards from the ocean, a few dozen men are using salvaged timber to build a makeshift mosque to replace one swept away by the waves. All of these men used to live in this neighborhood. Now they stay in nearby camps, and they are all eager to rebuild. Zulkifli is their leader.
We were born here. Our land is here. Our history is here. We don't want to go anywhere else. We want to come back here.
6 weeks ago, you'd have thought these men mad for thinking this town could be rebuilt. But the amount of debris cleared since then is extraordinary, and the idea of rebuilding no longer seems far-fetched. Some of the cleanup has been done by the government. A lot has been done by the townspeople. The United Nations Relief Coordinator in Aceh, Jasper Lund, is encouraged by the people's desire to return.
They want to come back to where they came from, with whatever means they have, and try to reconstruct and rebuild and try to reestablish their livelihood. And I think that that's very, very positive. If we can help them there where they are, then we will restore a normality much faster.
But in Pukanbada and in other places along the west coast of Sumatra, the desire to return may be at odds with the government's desire to prevent another tsunami from causing such massive damage and loss of life. The initial plan, as Aceh's public planning chief Marwati Nordin understands it, calls for a mile-and-a-half buffer zone between the water and residential areas.
No houses, no public house, no office, no market, except a fish market in the flood area.
If the plan goes ahead, many Pukanbada residents would have to give up the idea of returning. The mayor of Pukanbada, DRS Busra, works out of a temporary office about 2 miles away from what's left of his town, collecting information on the dead and the living. A printer spits out a list of a dozen new neighborhood chairmen chosen to replace those killed in the tsunami. Though he works for the provincial government, the mayor was born and raised in Pukanbada, and it quickly becomes clear that he intends to lobby his superiors to make an exception for his town.
My advice to them is going to be to build a really strong wall near the beach to contain the water if the waves come again. And then, behind that, maybe a buffer area is of just a few hundred yards. Hopefully we can come up with a compromise. Otherwise, I don't know what will happen if I tell the people they have to move.
A final decision won't be made for a few weeks or even months. Until then, those in the camps are being encouraged to move to the new temporary barracks as they become available. Back in front of the makeshift mosque, Zulkifli and his neighbors are defiant. No barracks for them, and no new homes built anywhere but here.
We're not going to build anywhere else. If the government doesn't give us the money and a permit to rebuild here, then we'll build small houses on our own. But we're not leaving.
Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Pukanbada, Aceh.
To see photos of the rebuilding in Aceh, visit npr.org.